This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Monday, August the 31st, as we are heading into September. The Phillies unable to come back in what would have been the one of the all-time great comebacks last night in Sunday Night Baseball, but ultimately do take 2 of 3 from the Braves this weekend. A good weekend of baseball for the Phillies, as a fun win on Friday night, a walk-it-off win. Saturday, they get the job done for the first time since 2018 after Saturday's win. This Philadelphia Phillies baseball team had won 5 games in a row, and then on Sunday night had a chance to almost make it 6 in a very special way, but we're unable to finish it out. We'll dive into it all. Ultimately, the Phillies do come out of the weekend, I think, feeling more optimistic than not about this team and their chances. Today is the Major League trade deadline. We'll get to that later as well. We'll see if the Phillies decide to add more than they already have, obviously. Bringing in Brandon Workman and Heath Hembree and David Hale, obviously, in a smaller deal as well. We saw Hale for the first time yesterday. It wasn't the best, but ultimately we'll see what Klentak decides to do today, react to that tomorrow. But I do think the Phillies could be in on things. There were some rumors about the Phillies, so it'll be interesting to see. But let's look back at the weekend of baseball, and then we'll get to that, as it was a super fun weekend of baseball. Again, even though the Phillies didn't finish out the sweep, they made it really fun along the way. Friday night, a real thrilling victory as the Phillies win it in 11, 7-4, as it was a really back-and-forth fun baseball game. The Phillies get out to an early lead, a 2-0 lead. In the third inning is Andrew McCutchen, who continues to rake, continues to just be awesome. 2-run shot there, as McCutchen has been just scalding white hot. He would homer again on Sunday, as he just continues to play really good baseball. His average is above 280 now. McCutchen's been great. It's really exciting to see him, especially after the injury, you know, and clearly not looking fully right to start the year, seeing him finally start to trust that knee, the timing comes back, all that stuff. It's been awesome to see. They get a 2-0 lead in the third, but then Marcell Ozuna, an RBI double in the fourth, makes it 2-1, but the Phillies get the lead back in the fourth. Gene Segura, 2-run bomb. Segura has been white hot as well, really starting to get rolling as well. This offense is starting to click, and that's what's exciting. And they've won some games while Harper and Romito haven't been carrying the team. They've been struggling more so. And in some ways, you know, it's exciting to see that everyone else kind of stepping up and getting the bats going, as this offense really brought it when necessary. The Phillies ultimately take that 4-1 lead into the sixth inning, but then the Braves score 1 on an error. Didi, a throwing error. It should not have been a throwing error on Didi. It should have been on Reese. That was a ball he should have had. He should have had it. In my opinion, it should have been an error on Reese. Ultimately, it is an error on Didi. The run scores. We get to the seventh. As Zach Wheeler, not vintage Wheeler, so to speak, and we only have a little experience with vintage Wheeler, but a solid outing yet again, as Zach Wheeler continues to be this team's most bankable, most week in, week out, or start in, start out, you know, a consistent pitcher. Goes 5 2/3, allows 2 runs, only 1 of them earned, 3 strikeouts, not as many strikeouts, 1 walk, 6 hits, as we expected, but still has done a nice job just consistently getting outs and pitching to contact and giving you 6 or 7, 2 runs, 3 runs, and just keeping in games. And it's been really nice to have Zach Wheeler on this team. ERA of 2.58 on the season, so he's been very good. Adam Morgan comes in and gives the lead away, in the seventh, as Morgan allows Ender Inciarte and Austin Riley back to back home runs, or excuse me, not back to back, but in the same inning, as the Phillies now a 4-4 game in the seventh. And you figure with the Phillies bullpen, we're done from there. But all of a sudden after that, the bullpen locks down through the 11th. Tommy Hunter gives you a clean inning. He's been great. Tommy Hunter's pitched really well. Shout out to Tommy Hunter's. Got his ERA down to 3.65, believe it or not. Hector Neris looked really good. Gives you a clean inning, two strikeouts. Brandon Workman, a clean-ish inning. A hit and a walk, but gets out of the inning. Heath Embry gives you an inning. And Blake Parker in the 11th gives you an inning as well. A couple of those with runners starting out on second base, as we know. Impressive. The bullpen did tighten up there and allowed it to get to the bottom of the 11th, where with two on and Scott Kingery would step to the plate. And certainly the best moment Scott Kingery has had this season, is it has been a rough season for Kingery. Still, you know, batting below 200, as well below 200, has really just been unable to get going. There have been signs of life lately, hitting the ball a little harder, getting to it a little quicker. But this certainly the moment of the season for him. Came in as a pinch run earlier, steps up to the plate, his only at bat of the game, and he goes yard just clear in the left field fence. A three-run walk-off shot. The Phillies win it 7-4. It was awesome to see for Kingery, who, you know, has really gone through it this year. It's been a rough year for Scott Kingery, and, you know, we all expected another step forward after the year last season where, you know, we finally started to see some of the flashes of what made Scott Kingery great and in the minors, and why there was so much hype for him and why he got that, you know, historic contract and all that type of stuff. But this season has not been great, obviously, for Kingery. But again, Friday night certainly was the walk-off homer. It was super fun. Again, shout out to the bullpen, who after Adam Morgan came in and locked it down. And that was necessary. It was definitely necessary. It was for all of us. It was one of those frustrating ones where you felt like the Phillies were going to win, and then the bullpen gives it up. And you're like, this isn't going to go the right way. And then all of a sudden they locked it down, and that was exciting to see. Saturday, the chance to go for five in a row yet again, as this Phillies group since 2018 has been unable to get past that lofty four games, one in a row threshold. And finally, on Saturday against the Atlanta Braves, it finally happened. The Phillies get the job done. Zach Eflin, the number one reason I will say they get the job done. Eflin was absolutely awesome. Goes seven innings, allows one run, four hits, eight strikeouts. The one run, a solo home run he gave up to Johan Camargo in the sixth inning. But otherwise, Eflin was sterling. 83 pitches. Could have gone another inning at least. Maybe would have given him a complete game if it weren't for a rain delay. Hour 15 or so minute rain delay ends up not coming back in. And then Hector Neris, another clean inning, two straight, as hopefully Hector's figured something out and is starting to turn a corner. And then Brandon Workman comes in, and yet again, two base runners, as always, but gets out of the inning, gets a save. But really, Zach Eflin, we've seen Eflin have the strikeout stuff this season, you know, which was something to a level he has not had in the past. And he's been great. And he has not been able to put it all together from a starts ERA perspective, and we finally saw that on Saturday. It seemed like Eflin really put it all together. You know, it really felt like a really great outing from Eflin. It felt like he could have finished it out if it weren't for the rain delay, and just looked dynamite. All his pitches were clicking, and you know, when you get that guy, it really does change the way this team looks. I mean, Nola and Wheeler, you feel really good about those as your top two, and that's the thing about Wheeler too. That's just so nice to have someone other than Aaron Nola be good on a consistent basis. But look, if Eflin can give you those types of outings, and then if Howard can figure it out, which he has the talent to do, all of a sudden you're talking about a pretty solid starting staff there. You know, I mean, Jake Arrieta is a disaster, and you never know what you're going to get with him, as we'll talk about when we talk about Sunday's game. But I do think that, you know, that those other four you can go to battle with a little bit, and it's exciting. It's a good thing. Look, that bullpen is not something you can go to battle with, and that's ultimately what could be their undoing. But I think from a starting rotation perspective, they're certainly better than others, you know, who are fighting to compete and all that. So it's good to see. Good to see from F, and then getting enough runs to get the job done on Saturday in that one as well, as they ultimately win it 4-1. They get out early. Bryce Harper sacrifice fly in the first, and then Reese Hoskins, a 3-run shot. Hoskins goes 3-for-4. 3 RBI in the game. Hoskins, we'll get to it, but would homer again on Sunday. Had another big day. This homer that he hit in this one, a opposite field, like right center into the bullpens there. Just a shot there. Had another loud out to the warning track there. I think Reese Hoskins might be back. Like back. As Hoskins has looked really good for the last few weeks now and kind of culminating over the last 5 games or so, as he has been locked in. As we know, look, he hadn't had a homer all season, hit one in Boston last week, and now he's got 5. So Hoskins is really turning his season around. He's got an OPS over 900 now. He's the highest OBP on the team, right there with Harper. It's exciting. It's exciting because, you know, after what we had seen from Hoskins and how lost he looked to start this year after the second half of last year, it was concerning. You wondered what happened to that guy who was such a consistent, talented hitter. And yes, Reese Hoskins has always been a streaky hitter. You know, we know that, you know, he is someone who has gone hot and cold for stretches, but it's usually 2 weeks at a time or whatever, not an entire second half of a season or whatever. And that's what made that so unique last year and so scary for what it portended. But it looks like Hoskins has finally figured it out again. And that makes this lineup so much more dynamic and dangerous. Just a really legitimate lineup. I mean, you go McCutchen, who is, again, also locked in. Both guys would homer on Sunday. We'll get to that Sunday game, which was a wild one, in a minute. But you go McCutchen, Hoskins, Harper, Romuto, Segura is locked in. You got Bohm in the 8 spot, potentially. I mean, Didi, of course. I think Didi works as good at bats as anyone on the team on a night-to-night basis. It just feels like every time that guy gets out, even then he's batting like he's working 70 pitch at bats. I've been so impressed with this offense and what it can do. And then you got Gosselin, and when Bruce comes back, and they just got some talent, some depth. Even Andrew Knapp, even the backup catcher is raking. Like, this lineup can play. Like, it's legit. It's the type of lineup that can compete. And when you got Nolan Wheeler, you can compete too. It's the bullpen. That's what makes today interesting, is will they go out and add to this bullpen where, you know, maybe you could convince yourself that you got a bit of a chance. You know, maybe not the Dodgers. Like, the Dodgers are amazing. We all know that. Like, I doubt any team's going to beat them. But, you know, baseball's weird. And, again, I don't think this team is closed. I think the bullpen is too far away. But I could see how they could convince themselves that they have a shot. And it was a good weekend in baseball. Again, right now they are tied for second place with the Marlins in the NL East. We'll get to the actual standings in just a few. I think it's going to be a really interesting day here for the trade deadline, because I think there's a lot of teams that are right there in it. It's going to be interesting to see what teams do. All right, to yesterday's game, which was the only loss of the weekend, but the wildest, most fun, super entertaining game to watch, even though it went super late and was way too long, as usual with these Phillies games this year, it feels like. But just a wild game. The Phillies end up losing 12-10, but it was not for a lack of effort, as the Phillies, Jake Arrieta, another disastrous performance, goes an inning and third, gives up 7 earned runs. It was just awful. And then David Hale came in and gave up 3 runs right after that. Ultimately, the Phillies were down 10-0 in the second inning. 10-0 in the second inning. And then, what could the Phillies have done? Down 10-0 in the second inning, they could have said, you know what? It's not our night. We're going to pack it in. We're going to get quick at bats. We're not going to really work counts. We're going to really try and get out of here. What did the Phillies do? They fought tooth and nail to try and win that baseball game, to try and become one of the 5 teams ever, we learned, that would be the 6th from a graphic, to be 10 runs down in a game and come back to win it. One of the 2 teams ever, both are from Philadelphia as well, which was really weird. I think it was the A's and the Phillies, but to come down from a 10-0 lead in the second inning, first or second inning, to be down 10-0. And they really made it a run, man. It was crazy. They put up Didi gets it going in the third, with a second with a solo shot. It's 10-1. Then the third inning, it gets rolling. McCutchen, an RBI double. Rees, a monster shot, two-run shot, down 10-4. Then Didi triples in a couple runs. It's 10-6. Then an RBI groundout. It's 10-7 all of a sudden in the third inning. And it was just 10-0. And you're sitting there like, what the hell is happening? And this team fought. They fought. It would be 10-8 soon enough. On a Gene Segura RBI single, then the bullpen, Reggie McClain gives up a run. It's 11-8. But then the bottom of the eighth comes. Roman Quinn, a 429-foot blast, makes it 11-9. And then the next batter, Andrew McCutchen, does it again as he has been, again, white-hot, locked in. McCutchen hits his fourth home run of the season. And all of a sudden, it's 11-10, and we're losing it. And I'm believing this could actually happen. And then the Braves had a run in the ninth. It's 12-10, and the Phillies ultimately can't close it out. But first of all, look, it was a super fun game to watch. It was a game where you're down 10-0, and you're dreading watching the rest of the game. And the Phillies really made it a fun one. They made it an effort. And like I said before, I think in a lot of cases you see a team go down like that, and there's a reason that there's only two teams that have ever come back from a 10-0 lead in the first or second inning, because teams give up usually those spots. There are a lot of teams that say, all right, it's not our night. And this Phillies team didn't. They worked at bats. They fought hard. They chipped away. They kept scoring runs. They kept battling back. They were never out of it. And that was really heartening to see. It left me with more optimism than pessimism after a loss, which is something you rarely see. You know, usually you're down after a loss, especially a chance to sweep, a chance to get over 500, to be alone in second place, all that stuff. And yet I feel super optimistic about this team after it, because they fought. They showed a sense of urgency. They showed how important each game is. They showed that they're not going to just let a game slip away and just give up. It was one of the best losses I've ever seen. How about that? Is that a good way to put it? It was a great loss. The Phillies really fought hard in a game where it felt like they were just going to kind of, like any team would just kind of pack it in, and they didn't, and they fought. And again, kudos to this offense. It's a shame that Arrieta stunk so much and that the bullpen wasn't able to put a lid on it, which is, again, not surprising, but this Phillies offense, we just talked about, but it is super legit right now. I mean, McCutchen's batting 280 all of a sudden, out of nowhere. McCutchen, 280. Even got the slugging percentage up to 430. Hoskins, somehow's batting 250 all of a sudden. Rhys Hoskins has an OPS of 903. I mean, that's awesome. He's got a 424 on base percentage, just behind Harper's 429. Harper, of course, a 429 on base and a 581 slugging still. Romuto, a 566 slugging percentage. Gene Segura, all of a sudden, batting 256. Feels like he was batting 190 a couple weeks ago. He's back up there. Didi's still batting 284 with a 510 slugging. What? For a shortstop, a 510 slugging? Gosling keeps hitting. And he's cooled down a little bit. He's not even 500 anymore, but keeps hitting. Roman Quinn, 3-for-4 night last night. He's batting 284 on the season. A 448 slugging from Roman. What? This team's hitting. Basically, other than Scott Kinger, they're hitting, and I think that gives them a chance on most nights. And when you have Wheeler and Nola, I think you're going to have a chance in a lot of games, especially if Eflin can pitch the way he has. You know, there's optimism here. Look, are they the Dodgers? No. Are they the cream of the crop? No. But this team is potentially one bullpen piece away from being a real contender to win the division. You know, we saw this Braves team this weekend, and they're not that much better than the Phillies. Certainly not a lot better. Their bullpen is light years better, but their starting rotation outside of Max Fried is bad. I mean, flat out bad. And I think they're probably going to be looking to add a starter at the trade deadline. But look, the Phillies are only three games back at the Braves. They're not that far out. They're tied with the Marlins. They're a game and a half up on the Mets. They're three games up on the Nationals right now. The Nationals are 12-19. The Phillies at 14-15. Look, the Dodgers are 26-10. They're the best team in the National League, clearly. But after that, it's a real jumble, you know. I mean, the Braves are 19-14, the Cubs are 20-14, and the Padres are 21-15. Those are the only four teams between the Braves, the Cubs, the Dodgers, and the Padres who are above 500. You know, the Rockies are 17-17. The Marlins and Phillies are both 14-15. The Cardinals are 12-13, and then You know, the Giants are 17-19, a few teams at 15-18, you know. So it's a real cluster, you know, and it's going to be really interesting to see what teams do today at the trade deadline. Because as we look at that, I mean, like, there's so few teams that are fully out of it. You know, you look across baseball, the Red Sox, Baltimore is pretty close to fully out, I would say. They're on their way there. Kansas City, the Angels, the Rangers, Mariners. I mean, is Washington fully out? You can't say they're fully out, right? Pittsburgh, they're probably fully out. The Diamondbacks, maybe at 14-21. But there are a lot of teams in it. A lot of teams in it. So potential for a lot of action for guys, certain guys and stuff. So it's going to be fascinating. I know one name the Phillies were linked to yesterday was Josh Hader. Hader, the best reliever in the game, probably. Milwaukee's closer, just nasty, nasty stuff. Can give you two innings if needed. Probably could even give you three if you had to in a huge playoff game or something. Is lights out, is a phenomenal, awesome pitcher. Under three more years of team control. Theoretically could be a starter, too. Was moved to the bullpen from being a starter. The Brewers have long held that they were still going to move him back there. Who knows? He's the best reliever in baseball, so you might not want to move him there from there to take a risk. But regardless, if they do trade him, he is going to fetch a serious haul. Like the Phillies' top three prospects plus. Like, you know, your Mick Abel, Bryson Sutter, both locks to be in that deal plus. So it's a hefty price. Now, the 3 years of team control makes it way more interesting and obviously drives the price up, but it also makes you feel better about it because this is a weird season and who knows how things are going to play out and, you know, do you really want to go all in on it and all that type of stuff. But it's going to be really interesting. Today's an interesting day, one of the more interesting trade deadlines I can remember, especially because we've already seen so much action. I expected this to be a potentially quiet trade deadline, something where a lot of teams weren't making a ton of deals and, you know, a shortened season and too many teams in it. And we've already seen some interesting moves being made, like, and it seems like a fair amount of moves. So it'll be interesting to see. I think ultimately if the Phillies can add one more reliever, whether it's Hader or someone else, they really could use that help. But I also am leery about giving up the farm, so to speak, though. Josh Hader is awesome. So, you know, we'll see. It's going to be a really interesting day. All right. Coming up, big stretch of baseball for this Phillies team as they fight for a playoff spot, fight to potentially win this, you know, division, hopefully, and if nothing else, to certainly make the playoffs. And there's a big 8 days coming up, but certainly this week is huge as they have four against the Nats and four against New York, the Mets. Seven games this week, and then that next game against the Mets on Monday, but it goes at home tonight. Washington, then tomorrow, Washington, Wednesday, Washington, Thursday, Washington, then up to New York. So those four games are at home against Washington, then up to New York for four games against the Mets. This is going to be huge. This is going to be a big factor in how this season plays out. As tonight, it's Spencer Howard against Eric Fetty. You feel very good about that matchup, especially Howard's last outing. You started to see a little bit more of what we expected from him, and you hope he can take that into the next one. Then you got Nola Wheeler going against Corbin and Scherzer. So that's going to be serious. And then Eflin versus Sanchez. So the Phillies have their four best going in this series. And you look, Nolan Wheeler, you know, if you're going to have to go up against Corbin and Scherzer, you hope that it works out that way. So those are some serious, serious ace on ace, high-level pitching matchups. This is a massive series, and it's in Philly. It is huge, as the Phillies can really kind of end the national season potentially effectively. Maybe not quite that far if the Nats go on a run. We've seen recently in recent memory how the Nats can, you know, go on a real deal serious run. But the Phillies have a real chance here to kind of put some distance between them and the rest of the division. Obviously, the Marlins are hanging around, and they terrify us because they're the Marlins, and they have our number. But we do have a seven-game stretch coming up with them next week, so starting next week, later in the week. So this is going to be big. The season is coming down. Look, we're more than halfway through the season now. That's you know, kind of the crazy thing, sitting at 14-15. Well, not quite more than halfway. We're about to be halfway. After tonight, we'll be halfway through the season. Assuming the Phillies play 60 games, we might be halfway through the season or more. So Big series coming up, and Phillies at home need to handle their business before heading up to New York. It'll be a super, super, super important series. So hopefully the Phillies can take advantage, and we'll see if they make some moves today. Either way, we will definitely be back to talk about it all tomorrow. So until then, stay safe, stay healthy. And thank you for listening to another edition of Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.